the bright side of the road.
To the bright side of the road.
Little darling, come on low.
On the bright side of the road.
Come on, tell me. Uh-huh, hey. On the dark end of the street.
On the dark end
well,
of the street.
To the bright side of the road.
To the bright side of the road.
We'll be lovers once again.
On the bright side.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Channel Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Who Cares Wins Radio, and it's 3 o'clock. It's that time again, Monday afternoon, and you're listening to Angela Bri Stevenson. That's this voice, and there's two other marvelous voices in this studio with me. My marvelous, wonderful presenters. There's no drum roll. Where's the drum roll?
Silence.
We have the sensational Sue Parker.
Hello.
And we have the jolly, jovial Jan Mulligan.
Good afternoon.
So hello, welcome, welcome, welcome. We have a great show ahead. We are going to be talking all things stress related, and the guests for that are the delightful three of us. So you're going to have the you're going to have three guests, listeners, today.
And
we also have, yeah, and three different, very much three different, I can't speak. Three different perspectives. Get my teeth in. Think I've got yours from last week, Jan. We also have the marvellous Mary Daly, who I understand you guys met at the Lendlease tweet up last week. And I've also heard her on Business Bunker, another wonderful show on Channel Radio. And I know that she's doing some fabulous work. And it is, of course, this week, MS Awareness Week.
Multiple sclerosis. Yep.
So, of course, we thought it'd be great to have her as a telephone guest. And we're going to, technology permitting and also mobile phone signals working, that we will get her in. It sounds a bit dodgy now that we're going to get her in a car park. But trust me, listeners, it's so that we can actually speak to her whilst she's then off to a meeting. So
we need communal fingers crossing that technology will be on our side.
I'm sure it will be. We always touch wood so far, touching wood now, we do tend to have good positive technology functionality here. So good week all. Yes, had a good
yes.
week.
Sun is still shining. Yeah, summer's still here,
so it's lovely. We're sitting out there with our lunch. Sue, she was just sitting there sunbathing. Some of you listeners may have noticed, or some of you Twitterers, you may have noticed with our tweets that we do. And of course, please do keep tweeting us questions, any queries or questions about stress, or even your experiences of stress, or even coping strategies. Then we'd love to hear them. We'd love to share or even answer any of those questions while we can on air. And also we have Mary phoning in, but if there's any information you have linked to the multiple sclerosis or anything to do with Awareness Week that you're up to, please do tweet us at CaresWins, and we will give it a shout out as much as we can within the timeframes we have. So you may have noticed that I put a tweet out this morning. I've done it, dot, 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 and I left you all on tenterhooks. Well, after last week's show, I was so amazed and so inspired that I have, as of this morning, signed up. Hopefully I'll get a space for the London Marathon 2014.
Excellent.
So, yes, I'm not quite sure. As I say, I've put it out to the universe, so I am planning for a place in October. I shall be notified. Don't worry, Jan, I will start training now. Good. I won't wait and be lastminute.com.
Thank you.
And wait till October to start training. So, yes, I've signed up. I've done it. So I've got half marathon in September. Great North Run.
Great North Run. You've done that before?
Up in Newcastle. Aye. Yes, six times.
Wow.
So I suppose I've had some training, haven't I? And then, yes, April the 13th. Lucky for some is the Great North, is the London Marathon. So yes, I've done it. I've signed up. I've committed. I've paid my money.
That's it now. Oh my God.
And I also was at the mindfulness workshop on Saturday.
This is Ed Halliwell.
Yes. Yeah? Yes, yes, yes. He wrote a book with Dr. John T, co-authored it on the Mindful Manifesto. And as you both know, and a lot of listeners out there know, I am very involved with mindfulness and also working alongside Louise Cox Chester of Mindfulness UK, Mindfulness at Work Limited. So I went up to see Ed Halliwell because he was actually running a workshop around mindfulness, and it was mindfulness for well-being.
Ah,
so it
perfect.
Caught my eye related to our show. And we did some practices, we did some discussions. It was interesting to hear how a lot of people had shared their experiences of why they'd come to the workshop, why they'd come for that day. And it was very much about well-being. Interestingly, it was all about stress management. A lot of people coming from the corporate world were wanting to know how they can deal with working in a very stressful environment, mm-hmm. and how they can maybe utilize mindfulness, not just at home in their formal practice, but at work while they're at their desk.
You use the word practices. Mm. Give us just an example. What do you mean by that?
A practice is literally a little bit like we have with the breathing meditations that Sue's been guiding us through. So a practice is a formal being with the present moment. And the biggest anchor that we use in mindfulness is the breath. And we actually allow people to be aware of how you're breathing, focus in on the physical sensations of, oh yes, I am breathing. It's been going on for many years. And actually now I'm noticing how that works, and the stomach moves and the chest moves, and also then bringing yourself into this complete present moment. And interestingly, Ed Halliwell was talking about the work that's going on mindfulness for schools, and he was saying that they use text messages, and the students send text messages to each other, and it's dot B, as in full stop, and the letter B. And that is for the, it's like a reminder. So if I was to text you, mm-hmm. and you open your text message up and it says dot B, then that is for your, that's your little anchor, your reminder for you to stop what you're doing. And
oh, so dot as in full stop.
Full stop.
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 Right.
So stop what you're doing, like the red traffic light.
Uh-huh.
Stop what you're doing and be.
Right.
So no more doing. You are being.
Mm-hmm.
And you are literally just for a few, it could be 30 seconds, it could be 60 seconds, you become aware of your breath and become focused in your sensations of this moment.
Right.
So if you think about it, senses, so touch, taste, see, hear, feel, mm-hmm. are very much in the present,
mm-hmm.
apart from visualization.
Yeah.
But otherwise, that's now. Touching right. that piece of wood is a now moment,
right.
rather than thinking about what I've got to do tomorrow, what I've got to do this afternoon, what about the meetings next week, have I planned? Have I written up articles for magazines? Jan's smiling at me now. We've been working on Inline magazine as well this week. And so it's very much about becoming present, which then makes you can then go on and carry on with your doing,
right.
if you've stopped for 30 or 60 seconds. But of course, what you then follow on and do is more focused, possibly more productive, perhaps less stressed, because you've taken that moment just mm-hmm. to bring yourself back to. And in some respects, a lot of people, I'm sure we'll discuss this later with stress, about coping strategies around how people often, I find I go out for a walk,
yeah. mm-hmm.
come back and look at it in a different way, and yes. everything's fine. So again, it's another way of being able to do it, but you're in your chair. You don't need to get up and start bending and stretching, mm-hmm. although we know that's useful to do.
Absolutely.
And so it is literally bringing yourself into that complete present moment.
Okay.
And appreciating that present moment. Jon Kabat-Zinn describes it, mindfulness, he describes it as it's being present on purpose. So okay. you are making a conscious effort.
Yeah. Right.
So yes, I came home very chilled out on Saturday, and also was able to utilise that strategy on the train home, where there's various football people coming home from whatever.
So what could have been a very stressful
possibly,
journey.
Possibly, yes. Was actually very relaxed. And as I say, mindfulness isn't about relaxing, mm-hmm. yet there are oodles of benefits. And one of those is that you do relax the body, as we said last week, the breathing and that diaphragmatical breath. So yes, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And he also mentioned, and I've got a little note here that I just want to refer because I want to get it right. But there are lots and lots of studies. But actually, the World Health Organization, one of their statements, one of the statements is by 2030, they state that depression will be the planet's biggest health problem. And they say that 51% find it difficult to relax and can't stop thinking about things they have to do. And I thought that was very apt because of what we're going to talk today around stress. Stress-related conditions make up 50% or higher of any GP caseload. So again, it's very interesting, this word stress, which whether or not it's an overused word as well, we'll find out a bit later on. So thoroughly enjoyed that. And I'm also in discussions with Louise about maybe looking at similar events down in Kent, because London is somewhere sometimes for people quite far to travel.
Yeah.
And Louise, I know, is looking at ways that we can make it more accessible for people within Kent. That would be fantastic. So yes, a marvellous day. And then now I'm in my head running that marathon. So hopefully with my mental rehearsal. One.
So good for you to go then.
Yes, possibly. So the only other thing we have with Inline Magazine is, I know Donna's been working with us in that we have the next edition, June edition. It's quite weird that we're working on, where are we? We're nearly the end of April and we have the June edition that we're planning.
So just, sorry listeners, in case you haven't heard of it, Inline Magazine.
Yes.
It's an A5 magazine, so A5 size, that is.
Yes.
Which is delivered free of charge and received free of charge to homes within the Canterbury area.
Mm.
But also a lot of the shops and stores and public houses, restaurants, hold copies of it as well. And you can get a free copy online.
So yes, you can.
If you're in a catchment area that doesn't get a delivery and you're interested, then we'll be giving out the web address for that later on.
I know she had lots at Lendlis. You said she turned up with a big pile and by the end of the day...
She promised me 10 copies. We met up only about 5 minutes after she'd arrived and she only had 4 left.
Oh, fantastic. So that's great.
Obviously a popular magazine.
It is, and we're in it. We are in it, and we feature every month now, listeners, so we do put in there our take on various areas of health and well-being. So again, we've had interest from listeners who perhaps want to have part of that space to talk about some of their areas. So we're very welcome to hear from you. Email us, or again, get in touch via the Facebook pages or the LinkedIn. All of our details are on Channel Radio's webpage, channelradio.co.uk. And then go to the presenters and find Who Cares Wins.
And our May issue concentrated on back and back pain, because we had 2 or 3 guests.
We did.
Well, two shows were talking about
it. We did,
And with 4 guests in total.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So.
And Sue and I sitting on those lovely back apps.
Yeah.
Although we're smaller, aren't we, now that we're not on those. We were definitely higher when we were on those back app chairs. And if I may, with your permission, Jan.
Why me?
Is my boss Jan. I have a poem that was read out on Saturday's event at the end of the day, and it's by a gentleman called Derek Walcott, and the poem is called Love After Love. And I thought it was quite appropriate in relation to our topic today, stress, and in linking with mindfulness, and also with looking at any of the charities and the fundraising that goes on. So if I may, I'd like to read that out, and then maybe we'll have a bit of music while we get Mary on the line.
Absolutely.
Technology permitting. So the poem is, as I say, by Derek Walcott, and it's called Love After Love. The time will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door, in your own mirror, and each with a smile at the other's welcome. And you'll say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit. Feast on your life.
I like that.
I like that last part, feast on your life.
Yes.
Making the most of every second, millisecond, every event, every happening, and making the most of that as you're in it, rather than worrying about tomorrow and actually missing what's going on right now. So, you're really pushing with my technology skills today. I have a piece of music that should be, if I keep leaning to over to my technology, I'm about to press the button, Jan.
Okay.
And it should start.
Fingers crossed, everyone.
It should start.
I've got
playing.
My nice stress related piece of music.
I'm not stressed.
I've got my feet crossed.
I've pressed the button. Now let's see what happens. It's thinking about it.
It's going to work.
I could start singing, but then Jan will look at me a bit scary. Music's up.
Music's up. Nothing's happening.
I can't hear anything.
I can hear something.
Is that just me humming?
No, I can hear something, but it needs turning up.
No, I don't think it is airing.
We're playing around with the cables here, folks. The stress is our topic, and stress is what Angela's experiencing at the moment as she tries to get the technology going. There's some music playing.
I can hear music.
I think it's starting partway through, but enjoy. Caffeine consumption. So when I get up, I just have one cup of coffee, and I like to have another cup of coffee with my breakfast. And on the way to work, I like to get a cup of coffee, like the kind of cup of coffee that you get with the donuts. If I never get the donut, I just have the cup of coffee. And when I get to work, I like to have a cup of coffee, because I like to have coffee with a talking bone. It usually goes cold, and I need to get another cup of coffee, and it's lunch, and I have an espresso. It's not morning anymore, so I have a Diet Cola and another Diet Cola. But then I'm feeling fine, and I'm feeling pretty sharp, and I'm feeling pretty wired, and I'm getting things done. But right about 2, I get this little tiny migraine. It starts by my eyes, and it moves to the back of my neck, and it moves to the bottom of my spine. But it doesn't get there till 5 or 6 o'clock, which is the end of the day. So I'm fine, so I'm fine, so I'm fine, so I'm fine, so I'm fine. Except when I have to work late, when I have to work late, which I usually do. I get this stress, that's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long, and I hang around like a and I think I'm going nowhere, and that makes me nervous. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's thinking about me. Hey, how you doing? Looking good. You been working out? Yeah, I can tell. Alright, see you later. Play real hard. I love to steal little things from the grocery store, like a piece of bubble gum, or sometimes I just stick my thumb in a peach and leave it there. I love to work, I love to run, I love to water ski, snowboard, jet ski, skydive, parasail, hang glide, rollerblade, mountain bike, bungee jump. Well, I mean, I love to do these things if I ever had the time. I love to work, I love to work, I love to work out after work. I love to spend a little time with this one I'm seeing, except we never really get all ton of spend together, so we call each other up and we talk about work. But what I think I really love is to get up on myself on a little tiny island in the middle of the ocean with just me and a book and a cellular phone and a personal computer. In case something came up. And I'd eat, and I'd drink, and I'd run, and I'd sleep, and I wouldn't do nothing except swim all day. So, you know, my beeper doesn't work underwater. Where are the sharks? Where are the sharks? Where are the sharks? And there's this kind of anemone that sticks in your foot, and the poison goes up to your brain, and you die. And sand, please! Sand, please! Yeah, but actually, I think it'd be really relaxing. Just me by myself in the middle of the ocean. And that's what I really love to do more than anything else, except I probably hate it. Peace and distress, that's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long, and I hang around like a fly. I think I'm going nowhere, and that makes me nervous. Everybody's at the game, but I feel all right. Everybody's at the game, but I feel all right. Everybody's at the game, but I feel all right.
That sounds like me at the end. That sounds like me. So we should now still have on the line the delightful Mary. Hey, Mary, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. I'm here.
That's marvellous. And we've got the thumbs up, Mary, that you are coming through loud and clear. So it's also good for our listeners. So, Mary, I didn't get to meet you, unfortunately, at Lenley's, but I know that you had some great conversations with both Jan and Sue. And so I know a little bit from when you were on the Business Bunker show back in January, which was fantastic. We heard all about some of the events and things you were doing. So for the listeners, if you could explain, first of all, your MS Awareness Week, because it's this week, isn't it, Mary?
Yes, it starts today, actually.
Oh, today.
So MS Awareness Week starts today until next Sunday. And for everyone listening, hello, I'm Mary. Just come off the golf course and I have a lovely pink glow. And I'm spearheading a campaign to raise £1.3 million
wow.
to build a new MS therapy centre in the grounds of Canterbury Rugby Club. We have a current prefabricated building, and it's in a terrible state. The reason I'm doing this is because I myself have MS, and 30 years ago, I was diagnosed, admitted with symptoms of a stroke, and literally took me 18 months to regain my walk. And I vowed there and then that if I got my walk, that no other young mother would go through what I went through, as I had two children at the time. Kieran was 13 months and Eve was 16 weeks.
Wow.
And it was the MS therapy centre that really helped me, because I have oxygen therapy treatment twice a week because I suffered from chronic fatigue, and where I slept 20 hours out of 24. And there is no cure for MS, and this centre is a lifeline of hope while we wait for a cure. We're very fortunate that we have a patron, the original owner of Brake Brothers, Mr. Frank Brake, matching all monies raised till the end of 2013. And I'm delighted to say that to date, we have 811,000 raised, and he has to match about another 60 of that. So really, we've just under 900,000 raised.
Wow.
We hope to start building next March. And for anyone listening, it's a legacy for anyone. On Friday, this coming Friday, it's non-school uniform day throughout Kent. There's over 40 schools fundraising for us, doing cake sales, with the message that they're leaving a legacy. When we start building, I'm going to bury a timeshare with a memento from every school that has supported us. I have over 45 children coming next Friday, so if you're free, ladies, come and meet me. And to the MS Centre, you will see firsthand what it's all about. And it's a legacy that will outlive us all. And there is people, as I sit in my car waiting for my kids to come out from school, that are in wheelchairs, that when this centre is built, that the additional physio they get, the hydrotherapy pool, the oxygen therapy, could well be the difference to them walking with a stick in the future.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And everything is being matched. Every single thing. We've got a ball coming up on the 25th of May on the grounds of Canterbury Rugby Club. So if anybody would like to come, it's £50. You arrive, glass of bubbly, a jazz band for my daughter's school at St. Anthony's will play for you. We've got five different types of acts. We've got Bollywood dancers coming from London. We've got swing jive dancers, 13-piece band, all the chefs are all donating their time, only getting travel expenses. And it'll be historic, because the marquee is going to be where the MS Centre will be. And we start building, as I said.
Oh.
So anyone that can help me, please.
Yay!
Bring it.
Oh, Mary, that is just absolutely amazing. Mary, just go back to the ball. It's £50 for a ticket. How do they get hold of these tickets?
Well, you can get hold of tickets via the MS Therapy Centre, which is in Canterbury,
right?
And it's kentmstc.org.uk.
Say that again. Say that. Hey, whoa, Mary. Say our listeners are grappling around for pens and pencils. So let's say that. Say
it's
a little bit. Yeah. Hey, I'm with you on that. But for our listeners, let's just. Can you say that again, but a little bit slower for them?
Sorry, listeners. kentmstc.org.uk.
Marvellous.
And if you just go on there, or if you ring the MS Therapy Centre...
And the number is off the top of your head?
I knew you were going to say that. But you can ring me on my mobile number, which you have.
Yeah.
Which is 07802-466-326.
Yeah.
And the center number is 01227-470-876. And just ask for Mary. Even if you forget my name, I'm the only Irish one there. I'm the Irish one.
Oh, how could we forget you, Mary?
We'll,
never.
We'll make sure all of that's on the Facebook page after the show, Mary, so people can find that there. On the other end of the scale, you mentioned that the ball is £50 a ticket, but you've also got a buy a brick campaign? Yes,
we've got buy a brick campaign, and it's £2 a brick. So basically, you go on to the site, and you see a brick, and you click on it, and then there's a page, and you can leave your message, and that's just another great way of being involved. And
absolutely.
Then you leave your message, and then once the centre is built, those messages will actually go on a rolling, like a picture frame.
Mm-hmm.
So all the messages and the way the people have contributed is just amazing. And it really is a centre for the people of Kent, built by the people of Kent.
Excellent.
And if there's anyone listening that has got maybe an auction prize for the ball, or a raffle prize, or just go into a local and give a dinner for two, it would be just amazing, because it's, you know, everything is matched on that night, and the better the raffle prize, the more tickets people would buy.
Absolutely.
Exactly, and I mean that matching from Break Brothers is fantastic, and you know, what did you say, I've just written it down, nearly 900,000, that is amazing, well done.
Yeah. So we just need to raise about another 205,000, and then Frank Wake will give us 205,000, and then it's job done. And
brilliant.
Let me tell you, it'll be just amazing. And for everyone, you know, I was in Sittingbourne this morning doing a school assembly, and as I said to the kids, you know, I work with some of the sixth formers, that, you know, it could well be the difference to them getting a job in this overpopulated world of degrees. And you know, and there's such a feel good factor, because this centre is going to happen, and it'll be there, and it's just amazing. And for anyone that can help us, you know, because as I say to children and to anyone I speak to live with any illness is a terrible thing. To live with an illness that has no cure is an awful thing.
Yeah.
It really is. And there's a big psychological problem, you know, and, you know, in the centre, you know, it just offers so much support. And, you know, and it's sometimes it's like Wheelchair City, you know, but you go in and you just have a cup of tea.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and, the simple things sometimes in life, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely, Angela. But anyone listening, please help me.
Well, I know I'm looking across at Sue, and I know you and Sue were talking about, I think, Sue, you're already donating a prize somewhere, aren't you?
Yes, I'm donating a painting.
Excellent.
And wait till I tell you, Sue, I have been doing some sales work, and everybody, I have got about four people that are very keen in this painting.
Oh, brilliant.
So I tried to explain it as you explained it to me.
Yes.
So hoping we could get maybe £200-300 for it.
Fantastic.
That'd be good.
Which would be £600.
Fantastic.
Are you free, actually? Would you come to the centre on Friday from between 12 and 1?
Yes.
You're a good girl.
She's a good girl, isn't she?
Now, sorry, that sounds very, but that's the way it is. She's met me, so she knows. Now,
yes.
To everybody, I've got a challenge for anyone listening.
Right.
And if anyone can help me, I swear to God, I go to Mass every Sunday, I light you a candle. I am desperate to get the BBC News or Meridian to come to the centre on Friday between 12 and to speak to the children. I've got four-year-olds. I've got students from Canterbury University. I have got six farmers. I've got 12, 13 and 14-year-olds in a sea of uniform there to tell their story. And I cannot get on the news because they won't answer my emails. And I email them every day. So if anybody can help me to please get on the South East News. This is one of the biggest stories.
It is.
Through the eyes of a child, children are criticised throughout the world for not helping and not doing fundraising. And yet there's going to be 42 schools throughout Kent and Canterbury fundraising for us. And yet those kids can't get their say. And I think it's awful. So if anybody... please.
Well, definitely, we'll put that out there, and also we'll put it on Twitter and Facebooks and our LinkedIn pages. And also, a few months ago, a long story which I won't bore you all with, listeners, but I hooked in with the Twitter account of Caddy Lee Preston, who is the World War forecaster lady and done Inside Out and things like that on BBC.
BBC, yeah.
So rest She's assured, local. Mary, I'm going to copy her in on tweet and ask her who she can get in and get you talking to and definitely get you on there for Friday, because as you say, it needs to be aired and it's a fabulous story.
Absolutely, Angela. And the thing about it is, I have got an email to say that we are on the list. But being on the list is a very open-ended way of saying, thanks very much, and if we get you, we get you.
I mean,
people, you know, people criticise, you know, people moan. You know, they were moaning about poor old Margaret Thatcher's funeral. You know, there's a family, you know, that are distraught, that were injured going to a hen party. You know, there's a bride with a broken, you know, that may never walk again. And this is, we have the youth of Kent.
Yeah.
The youth of Kent doing something good and helping people. And you know what? Sometimes a good story needs to be aired. It doesn't all have to be misery.
And definitely not. No, it's the positive side of things. And also the inspiration, Mary, yourself, that you actually are providing. As I know that you were talking through at Lenley's about your actual sort of a typical day in the life of Mary and how you get through the day and how you get yourself going in the morning.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it takes me literally, I have to, you know, I'd been sitting on for half the state this morning, so I'd get up at 5 o'clock, and I had to do my routine because I'm numb from my waist down every morning, and sometimes my right arm is. So I have 40 minutes, then I have to get myself out of bed, get to the walking aid, get to the sticks, to wake my legs up before I actually wake my four children up, and then do the day's work and do everything. Because for anyone listening, we are all volunteers. I don't even claim petrol expenses. My husband reckons we should have just taken out an extra mortgage and given the money, because it's costing us money. But it's not about the money. It's about helping people, and it's about educating people as well. You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's about, especially with the kids. You know, seeing that to have an illness, you know what? It's not the end of the world. I have ran 2 London marathons, and during that time, you know what? It was very difficult for me to train because of pains and aches.
I bet.
But it inspires people that, you know, just because things don't necessarily go your way doesn't mean you can't achieve it. Because if you've got heart and soul and belief, there's nothing in this world you can't achieve.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely nothing.
Definitely.
Because the power of the mind is the power of the truth.
That's fantastic, Mary. Thank you so much for spending your time with us this afternoon, Mary. We're going to be posting, as we said, on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere, all of your contact details, the various events. We haven't had time to talk about the Summer Fete.
No.
So we'll make sure that all of that information is up there.
Yeah, we will.
And we'll put the word out to get somebody, hopefully, with you on Friday.
Yep. After the show, we will be tweeting like mad for you.
We
will see what connections we can get to get that possible for Friday.
Girls, I swear to God, if you do that, do you know what? We'll have a drink on Friday.
Hey, I'm up for that. Mary, it's been lovely to hear from you and talk to you, and technology's on our side. So you be having a wonderful afternoon, and hopefully we'll see you. Well, I know Sue, you're going to see you on Friday.
Yes,
so
definitely we'll be there.
We will catch up follow your news.
Lovely stuff, and thank you to everyone listening for what you do.
Thank you.
And if you can contribute, just tell people about us.
Oh, will do. Thank you.
Definitely.
Thanks very much.
Take care. Bye, Mary.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, wow.
What an
amazing woman. Absolutely amazing. But again, that whole link with stress, the management of stress.
Yes.
I need to go lay down now. She's just, the amount of stuff that she's doing is just, I'm worn out.
She's a human dynamo.
She is.
With illness thrown in on top.
Yeah.
So she's battling that every day and still getting all of this done. It just makes one ashamed when you wake up in the morning and feel a bit tired.
Big heart. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this song's probably quite appropriate with everything that's on her plate at the moment. So we'll have a bit of music, and we're then going to come back to you and start talking about this stress. And so stress in the workplace, is stress an overused word? Well, we'll have a little chat.
Bye. So slashed and torn.
Provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Channel Radio.
Are you stressed? Are you not stressed? Are you under pressure? I was singing along to that, so I'm not stressed till now. All my pressure's gone. All my papers have gone everywhere, so that's fine. But interestingly, stress, there's some statistics that, funny enough, we decided to talk about stress this week on the show. And something popped in my inbox, as the universe does. And one of the headlines said, "Today's society rewards workers with more stress and little sleep. And the way that we cope is fast food, alcohol and tons of coffee." And it went on that the CIPD, which is the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development, which is my institute, they have reported on a recent health, wellbeing and productivity study, which is by Towers Perrin, one of the London consultancies. And they were saying that they'd found 98% of businesses which actively measure stress, which in some respects I thought was a good thing that that's now going on, they felt that it was an issue for their workforce. And from their own research, the CIPD's own research, showed that 70% of employees experience workplace stress and that 21% regularly think about quitting their job.
We're going to play Statistics Tag.
We are,
and
aren't
I'm going to give you a few now.
Over to you.
From the
Love
NHS 30. Choices Mood Zone website.
Mood Zone.
And the Mood Zone website is a great resource for all things stress-related, and we'll be posting that URL on our website later. But it says, with an average of 40 days unpaid overtime a year. So if you're in work, think of all those extra 5, 10 minutes, hours you do that you're not being paid for. Most people these days don't take a lunch break.
No.
That's an hour a day unpaid overtime straight away. They say on average it's 40 days a year. Britain is has the longest working hours in Europe.
Yes, we do.
And with those long hours and a heavy workload, that can cause stress. And in a survey during 2010-2011, it was estimated about 400,000 people in the UK reported work-related stress at a level they believed was making them ill.
Yeah.
So most of us experience stress on...
We do.
...daily, weekly basis, depending on our lives.
I'm coming back at you now. Ping!
Ping!
With the old stress statistics. 15
all.
I can't even say that word now. Statistics. Health and Safety Executive, which is another fabulous resource.
Absolutely.
For any of you out there, either employers or employees, because they come at it from both angles there. In the stress, they say that in 2011-12, 40% of work-related illnesses, which... we all know from the clients that we touch base with, was related to stress in the workplace. And additionally, the research found that when it comes to coping strategies, solitary pursuits such as watching the TV, 66% was a coping strategy, surfing the internet, 49%. I feel like I'm at bingo again. And they tended to be more popular than talking to friends or family, which was only 40%, or playing a team sport, which was 13%.
I wonder if not wanting to talk or reluctant to talk, whether that's a British thing or whether that's people who are stressed in general.
I don't know. It doesn't say. And obviously the HSE is obviously in a UK-based,
yeah.
So whether that's come out. But I know from the courses that I run, funnily enough, listeners, if you are looking at stress in the workplace, there is a course that Learn2 are offering, which is, we'll put it on the website, on Facebook website, 14th of May. It's a half-day course, which I'm running, of course. And I will cover more statistics there if you want them. But there is something about, I think it's 80% of doctors' visits that they have from the public are stress related. There's a link that it's something to do with stress, whether it's not always workplace stress.
No,
there's also the
lots of home-based personal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And stress is an aggravating factor of pain, and vice versa.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's not always on its own. It can be linked to other things.
Because also there's the thing we were talking about this earlier about the stress and being assertive, saying no. You were mentioning, weren't you, Sue, that actually, and in the workplace, we're not saying that all our lovely listeners out there and the employers out there actually do this, but your experience was quite stressful, actually.
Well, it was very stressful because I was on a team building a week.
Yeah.
And I was being We kind of discussed how we worked as a team and who we were, and we were, you know, obviously writing about each other and saw the good aspects of each other, and then also obviously the negative. And mine was very much like I wouldn't say no. I was very forward thinking, and that's just how I am.
Mm.
But at times it can be quite stressful because there are times where I did need to say no.
You take too much on.
Because people take you for granted. And of course, that day came. At work, like months after the team building, and I had been on nights, and I was tired, and I was, you know, going to have a couple of days off, and unfortunately, some of our staff had gone sick, and I was asked if I could do those shifts, and I said, well, I've just come off nights, I really could do with a break, and I said no, and unfortunately, that was kind of ignored, and suddenly then having a phone call from head office saying, why have you said no? You've got to do it or you lose your job. So
investment in team building.
Yeah.
Encourage you to develop and to change. And then, sorry, we don't want you to do that.
Exactly. So really, that mixed messages for me on that one. I fortunately got out of it because I moaned so much right through the day that some of the staff got a little bit annoyed with me and ended up, one of them goes, okay, I'll do it. But that's the only reason why I actually got out of it.
And that's your colleagues supporting you.
Yes, they did actually.
Rather
they
than
knew how I was
your management.
So tired as well because night shifts are very long.
And stress tires you out because
very
stress
stressed.
Is with the, if you look at the chemical
side of stress. The stress response starts to kick into the adrenaline, the cortisol, the release of those hormones, all going around your body, flooding around your body. Of course, it's firing you up, isn't it? Firing all those major muscle groups up to either fight your way out of that corner or to run the 2-minute marathon. But of course, in work, we don't often have the original threat that we had, and that's what our bodies were built for.
Threats are more subtle these days.
They're very subtle, and they come from technology. They come from a horrendous inbox full of hundreds of emails. They come from phone calls, deadlines, late. People are sort of worried that they're up to the minute with their deadline, or the deadline's being given that's unrealistic. And so it's the similar threat that kicks the response off. But of course, there's no release as was if I'd punched my way out of, you know, the corner, or I've got out of the cave and I've managed to get away from that lion, then I've released what my body would pep me up for. But of course, in the workplace, I'm sitting at my desk, all that's happening is I'm still sitting at my desk.
But equally, life in general brings its own stresses. And I saw an interesting interview, I can't remember what the program was the other day, but they said that people now avoid going on holiday because they find the process of planning, packing, getting to the airport, going through customs and security too stressful, and that the 1 or 2 weeks that they're away takes them time to unwind, by which time you've got to do that journey in reverse and go back to work again. So we're needing effectively longer holidays to recover from daily life.
And somebody, we're not talking just about in the workplace. Think about a lot of the clients that we have who are small businesses. Some of our listeners are running small businesses. They are perhaps they are it, aren't they? They are the reception, the switchboard, the sales force, the finance team, the messengers, as well as the actual product or the service that they're offering. They're doing absolutely everything. And so they can get carried away and caught up in that 24/7 mentality.
Well, there's that joke, isn't it? If you're self-employed, what is a bank holiday? It's a Monday.
It's a Monday. Why isn't anyone answering their phone? Why isn't there a radio show on a bank holiday? So it is. And also the public speaking side of things is out of the biggest stressors when you go through the life inventory list. Actually, public speaking is up there. I think death's probably above it. I suppose you could be quite fearful and concerned, but also, but it was actually the fear of public speaking is actually for a lot of people is a real stress trigger.
And that can simply be, it's your birthday, everybody's celebrating your birthday, and then they say a few words.
Yes, I've been there.
And you think, no, actually, it's my birthday, I want to enjoy it, I don't want to speak to anyone.
Or on a team building course, so if we all introduce ourselves, and you think, oh no, dreaded round the room introductions. But it is, it's interesting what you say there, because as a learning and development professional and a coach, I'm passionate about organisations making sure that training, learning and development is about supportive change in the workplace, rather than so often I get people on a course, especially around stress management. We do time and stress all linked together, and you get people, oh well, I've been sent here because I need to improve my time management, I need to be less stressful. And it's as if they've been sent to be cured. And the times I'd wish I had a little black bag and could say to them, here you are, take 3 of these a day, and by the end of the week, you'll have no more stress, and your inbox will empty magically, and you will have everything ordered out, and the deadlines will eradicate and disappear. As we know, training and development is just one part, and it's about going back to the workplace and having that support, as you said there, Jan, about it was interesting, Sue had employee support, but not necessarily the employer
support. No support at all.
I think for me as well, there's also the reminder that there's a lot of stress in our society, in our lives. It's not just workplace. And that can actually be quite important to remember when we go to work or when we go to run our businesses, because how are we managing that or how are we dealing with that? I know that people say to me about with my husband being at home and I'm caring for him, it's like, you know, well, how are you, Angela, and how are you getting on? I'm like, oh yeah, I'm fine. And you do hear people, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Well, it's like our first track, a music track. He thought he was perfectly fine. 20 cups of coffee before lunch and Diet Coke after
lunch.
And
then he starts losing it altogether.
And it's normally the tiny thing, isn't it, that just flips you over. And so it's interesting because with mindfulness, it's quite appropriate there that's one of the key things that they are linking with depression and stress management for people, is being able to have a strategy, having some coping mechanism that isn't reaching for the Diet Coke or the chocolate or the caffeine, reaching for the alcohol, reaching for the cigarettes, reaching for things that we know aren't really great for our bodies. And if we've already kicked off the stress response, we've already got the adrenaline, we've already got those chemicals in our body, what we don't need is the extra sugar, the extra caffeine, the stimulants, as we know, that aren't going to actually make it better. Yet we have, and I've been there, I've been on both sides of that stress curve, if anyone knows that out there. Yes, she's got her hand up too. And so it is about, we learn and we do grow. And I think there's an element, though, that we need to remember. Part of that stress is positive, that we do have, I need to be pushing myself outside that comfort zone.
It's,
I do
good
need
stress,
to have a growth and development. It's that fine line. And of course, the three of us in this room as well, we're all very unique. So what stresses me may not stress Jan or Sue, or vice versa. And also, we were joking, weren't we, about how we work here as a team on the show.
Yeah.
And what stresses Jan, or well, actually, I stress Jan probably.
Various degrees of laid backness.
Laid back. That's a lovely word.
Really?
Whatever. Yeah. But it is that the triggers, and I think that's one of the key things I often will work with clients is to, first of all, before you can start looking at any coping mechanism, is to actually start to identify, well, what does stress you? What are your triggers? Who presses your buttons, or what presses your buttons? Unless we know what that is, then it's, I think, quite hard to really take any further steps in, well, how will I deal with that?
And I think for a lot of people, their first reaction is, I don't know. And it's because they're not used to thinking about themselves.
No.
And certainly a lot of the clients I meet are not used to talking about themselves.
Oh, no.
So what I would say, and Sue's a good advocate of this, is if you feel under stress, if you don't feel yourself, get a notebook. Just jot down notes across the day.
Yeah.
If you went shopping and you got back and you felt more tired, more frustrated than you would do normally, make a note.
Yeah.
It's,
and
it's,
you may
letting
find,
go.
It's letting go, but B, you may find that you've developed a pattern, and you look back over a week or a month, and you find there are certain habits, for certain tasks that make you more stressed than you would have thought.
Mm.
So it's a very useful tool. Let go, but also find out.
It gives you a certain amount of awareness exactly what, you know, what it is. I mean, we all have certain levels of stress as well.
Mm-hmm.
Some can take a lot more stress than others. So. Mm-hmm. And it's little steps.
It is little baby steps. And I think it's about not being realistic to say, we can't, I've got, you know, 500 emails in my inbox. Right, I need to sort that out now. We've got to be realistic in our time management or our time awareness of, is that realistic? Is that possible?
Mm. I had a boss he had a 6-month rule with his paperwork. He would have piles around his office, and if he hadn't looked at it for 6 months, whether he'd read it at all or not, it would go in the bin. And his attitude was, if something important was in there, that person will make contact again.
Yeah.
And he used to do that with his emails as well. If he hadn't got to them within 2 weeks, was his email cut off, then they just got deleted.
That reminds me of a guy quite a few years ago when I was up in London, and he had the exact same response. He said, when I've been on holiday, when I come back from my 2 weeks off, he said, I come back, the first thing I do is I go into my inbox and I delete my whole inbox. And you could hear the shocks around the room. They were like, you what? You can't do that? And he looked at the rest of the group and he said, I've been doing that. That's my strategy. He said, I've been doing that. He said, and I've been in this company for 15 years. He said, and I'm still here. I'm still employed. In fact, I got promoted last week, blah, 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 blah. He said, so it proves a point that actually all those emails, if people wanted me, they'll follow up because I'm now back.
Yes.
He said, or if it happened while I was away, do I really need to know about it? If I do, then I will have updates from my team, etc. And so I thought, actually, yeah, do you know what? Might just do that.
And how many emails, bits of posts, don't arrive? So you never know about them anyway.
Mm. Yes, that's true.
And they're probably, 4 of the emails are, did you get my email?
Yes.
So I'm conscious of our time. It is whizzing by. But we're going to put those URLs, useful information and resources, and some of our suggestions and how we cope with things. And also our next article in Inline Magazine is going to feature more about the stress side of things, and not just
top
in the
tips.
Workplace. So, yeah, top tips from us three top tips, or maybe more. events, though, Jan, before we do start to close, there's some events that we'd like to just promote or remind people of.
Certainly. So the first one was going to be your very own. So you've mentioned that already,
your
stress training
Learn
event.
To. Learn I'll put to. It on the website, but 14th of May, 1:30.
Any charge?
Yes, they are charging this cheap as chips, especially for me, you know, masterful, wonderful person in the world. You get me for only half a day, which might be okay, stress-wise, £50.
Not bad.
And I believe if you quote my name and another Journey Begins business, you may even get a discount.
Excellent, that's worth knowing. So, and then on, I realise I don't have a date for this. That's very bad of me. Carol Brace.
Oh, yeah, she's changed it. It was going to be
25th of May.
Yes.
25th of May, Carol Brace, our juice expert, is running a session called Juicing for Health. Booking is essential. So you can either tweet her at @juicykaz, or again, we'll post her email, her website on the Facebook page. And what else have we got? On Sunday, the 5th of May, if you want a cycle ride, you can do either 45 miles or 75 miles.
Yay.
That's around Canterbury, Ashford and Thanet for so Pilgrim's Hospice. And again, phone numbers, etc., will go up onto the website. Many more to tell you about, not a lot of time, so we'll put a Facebook entry. Please look and let us know about your events. If you want us to promote anything in the future, please get in touch.
And I know, Sue, we've got an inspirational quote, which you've sort of tweet to make it Sue Parker copyright.
Yes, I have. I have changed it slightly. If anyone's probably heard of Stacia Torsa, she did this quote, but I'm actually just changed it slightly just for us, which really will go really well for this week and what we've been talking about. It's, we worry about what we will become tomorrow, yet we forget that we are someone today.
Yeah, it's very, very mindful to be aware of today and to the present moment. And with that, being mindful of time, we have about 3 minutes left. So just to remind you all that it's Who Cares Wins Radio is every Monday 3 to 4 on channelradio.co.uk. However, next Monday is a bank holiday. So we thought that you would probably be up to other more important things.
And if you're self-employed, if you don't take the day, we are giving you the hour off. So we between are. 3 and 4,
yeah.
Enjoy yourself, do something for you that's not work-related.
Our gift to you.
Yes.
Free of charge, of
absolutely.
Course. So we will be back on the 13th of May,
we
Monday
will.
The 13th of May, with two guests. In fact, again, following on that theme from mindfulness, we had Louise on the phone, Louise Cox-Chester. So she's going to be joining us again to talk about the work she's doing in London and mindfulness at work. They're doing a series of programs in various corporates. And also Jane Chapman, if anyone knows of the lovely Jane, she's going to be talking more from a personal experience and how then mindfulness has actually helped her get through her very challenging illness that she had. And she will tell you more about that in 2 weeks' time. So as usual, everything will be on Facebook. Everything will be on Twitters, and we'll tweet you during the times as well. Now, I'm going to play this song, even though it may cut off, but I just think it's great to end with this.